This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here and many things to chat about. 524-1080 is the number if you're interested in want to chat with me, and you could also pick this up live stream in case you're having moth or something in your antenna on your radio and you want to pick us up a little clearer, go to KWAI1080AM.com or carolcox.com, and you can get us clearly there. Slight delay, but you still can join in and play. Anyway, a lot of things happening, and I talked last week in closing on the DLNR, and for those of you that get bored with the subject, please, I do apologize in advance, but there are so many things going on over there that should not be occurring and things that should be occurring, and they're just not getting the job done, and it's critical. And we're going to talk about some of the situations there, and I want to share with you firsthand many of these sources that I get and this information that I get regarding any agency or any activity is generally from state employees or federal employees or what have you, or a citizen like yourselves out there. So you know, this DLNR bit kind of strange. It really is. We take and we leave so much to chance that it's going to get done right. And to be honest with you, it's never done right. And that's not my opinion. It's just that when we see things such as turtles found in trash cans and trash piles, that's a threatened species, not an endangered per se. It just afforded the same protections as an endangered species, the ones that were found. But we need to have that flag flown 24/7, staggering the hours. If you're a game warden, you know, little critters, they get to be active at nighttime, daytime, holidays, weekends, birthdays, whatever. So we need to reconfigure our approach to this, and that's what we're going to be talking about. But we've had some success in some of these stories that you remember. I told you about a story on Maui. Gentleman Wilson Keahi is renting property, leasing property from the state, and then subsequently renting or subleasing to other boaters and charging a substantial amount. But I want to share with you, in the past, many of you have said, why don't you go to the big papers and or the bigger media and get this out? Let's just put it this way. If you trust me, and I pretend that I'm going to, and represent that I'm going to come to you with the facts and figures, what more do we need? And I want to share with you, there's an article today in Star Advertiser, and this isn't a criticism of them, but I listen in the airways and I hear about the Koch brothers and the Fox News and how they represent things wrong, and they, you know, and the liberal media is really good, and, you know, all of that, whatever. I can't say it on radio because it's Easter morning, but you understand. Here's an article in Star Advertiser in the local section on the neighbor islands, written by the Associated Press. Probe launched over boat yards, storage fees. The state has started an investigation into the Lahaina boatyard's practice of collecting storage fees from boaters near the Mala boat ramp. Now, if you recall, I brought that to you some 2-3 weeks ago, and probably earlier, and not a mention, not that they are obligated to mention me, but if we're talking about getting things factually, well, first of all, the state did not initiate or launch an investigation. The state responded to my complaint to them that they were foot-dragging and covering up and not acting on an investigation that they had completed some 2 years practically ago. And that instead of taking action to rectify or remedy this, what they did was took it out on the boaters and posted notices in 72 hours that you were evicted. And still, while not taking any action against the person who is accused of in the allegations of falsely selling, representing, leasing state land. So the Maui News picked it up, and they made a gratuitous mention of Carol Cox. But again, So when you and I, we discuss, and many of you call up with various theories about the booger man in the closet and what the Fox News people and the liberals are better than the right-wingers, let me just tell you, when it comes to business, apparently, just a simple mentioning of carolcox.com in matters that we have uncovered and we have worked, and our knuckles are bare from scrubbing and scratching, and we're frustrated and our blood pressures are high because we are the ones who's out there digging and scratching and doing all those things. And they, the Associated Press and the bigger media, what we call the bigger media, or the liberal media, as Fox say, tend to write us out too. So whose team do you and whose banner do you fly, and when you do pull out the pom-poms and start shaking when both entities tend to squander or impede and acknowledge sources of stories? I'm not complaining. I mean, I've learned a couple things in this game. Go get the facts. Respond to the public in an honest fashion. Get the facts and disseminate them as best you can. After that, your responsibility, my responsibility, yours, is to understand that if there is a conspiracy, we see it here. And I can't explain to you why a media would, in fact, purposely write out. I mean, if you're doing a story, you would want to know where it comes from. And you surely wouldn't represent that the state is investigating. They're not. The state withheld the investigation report, and they claim more than 19 months now it's an ongoing investigation, and they had not, and I know factually, had not touched that investigation since September of 2013. So anyway, for those of you that encourage us to go to the bigger media, just understand the bigger media is, they want that sign to say open, and it's, we are the business people. So much for that. But I want to share with you, I'm going to read to you some of the information and things that I'm getting. This is what my day consists of. Getting complaints, leads, or what have you. And some of them are very thorough and extensive as to what it is that these gentlemen or these people are submitting. So here is one. Aloha, Carol. First of all, and I'm going to read to you straight now. I will keep some of the names off. You know, it's my practice to name names, but in this instance, this is the initial stages. But I want to share with you the kinds of things that are coming to me from internally, the people that work there wanting to blow the whistle. They have no one that they can go to within government because the Ethics Commission plays games. This guy, Les Kondo, he is in his position. He was a public relations UIPA officer. And if you have the occasion to talk with him, it's like, well, I'm Les Kondo, and I make the decisions here. And you may recall that I reported and filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission. And he said that he wouldn't do an investigation because he doesn't want to basically carry my banner or fight my battles. So be it. But this email, first of all, I would like to thank you for making others realize how Conservation International and Harold Castle Foundation is deeply rooted in the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Now, this is completely independent of me. I don't know these people. I don't know. This was sent anonymously, and I'll read it to you. They entered the door with open arms, welcome from William Isla and Randy R. Wohl. Let's talk about the North Maui Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit, a three-man unit designated to a 10-mile area. Is this really good use of resources? This was apparently the brainstorming of Awo and his disciples, and a sellout by Isla. There needs to be an investigation and or audit, don't care, and the practices that Awo and Isla created, starting with promotions into temporary positions. Pulled up the new administrator pulled up the administrative office as an officer 3, SR 20 position, with less than 5 years of seniority. Promoted to a TA, Temporary Administrative Duty Chief, Executive Management Position. By AWO and ILA without announcing the promotional, he was promoted to the permanent duty prior to AWO retiring and currently sits in as the TA Chief of Enforcement. Now, I file a complaint against this chief and his deputy for having second jobs and basically Les Condo blew me off. Someone is protecting this guy. Two DOE care officers assigned to administer the entry-level physical agility test, which requires applicants to pass a swim and hike, submitted some memorandums that Redu cannot swim and could not finish the hike. Guess what? He was hired. A recent transfer officer of SR 20 from DOE care Maui branch pulled up to work at the administrative office under AWO and Redula, and a TA training supervisor, SR 22 position, and currently, after AWO's retirement, working under the chief and the deputy in the administrative office. You talk about protecting the house with AWO's disciples. These officers had less than stellar careers while working in the field and have no seniority, yet they are chosen to lead DOE care. Why didn't the managers, EMO3 positions, get pulled up for the temporary positions? Apparently, they didn't buy the AWO's and ILA's hidden agendas. It's also apparent that DHHRD, DLNR personnel, and HGA, EA, has no intentions of calling bull on AWO and ILA. Now, that is, I didn't write that. I'm sharing with you the naked truth as we get them and as they come in. So that's just to give you a sampling of what's going on. And you hear this complaint now internally about the North Maui community's fisheries. So I went back and did a little research on this. And Governor Neil Abercrombie, and this all occurred under his watch, you know, and he gave a commendation dated July 18th, 2014. And on behalf of the people of the state of Hawaii, it states, it is with great pleasure that I commend the officers and administrators of the North Maui Community Fisheries Enforcement of the Department of Land and Natural Resources on the first anniversary of their work enforcing regulations and building community support around revitalizing the North Maui fisheries. The CFEU is a product of the DLNR Division of Conservation Resource Enforcement, DOE care, unique partnership with Conservation International, Hawaii Fish Trust, and the Harold K. Castle Foundation. These two nonprofit organizations provided resources and equipment, including a dedicated vessel, we'll call that a boat, to allow you to focus your efforts on improving the waters of North Maui. As Maui-born fishers, divers, hunters, you are each uniquely qualified and invested in protecting these marine resources and rallying the community around their discovery or recovery. It is no surprise you have taken great initiative in the uncharted waters of this pilot project, and I am proud to recognize CFEU Supervisor Jeffrey Canores and CFEU Officers Nathan Hillen, Joshua Resentis, and Pat Rivero for your exemplary dedication day and night to the protective conservation, conservation of the North Maui fishery. Beyond an increase in enforcement, your presence in these waters making 2,798 contacts in the field has helped build consensus around the conservation through education. Wow, that sounds like they have conquered Mount Everest. If the reality is, what's a contact? A contact is just absolutely, the way this thing is worded, and these are not my opinions. As I read you that letter, there's people internally looking at this, and you take men away from a normal schedule. Now, here on Oahu, there is they call it internally, an elite marine unit. So it has been taken away from the branch chief. So when you could have a case right now in Mamala Bay, and one arm wouldn't know what the other arm is doing within DLNR because the way they have it set up and as they describe it, an elite force of people only accountable to the deputy and the chief of law enforcement. But yet, there are complaints now that this public has called me and said, well, look, I've seen them out there and you try to wave them down, they don't even bother to respond. And I've called the office and the office don't dispatch them, but they're right there in the bay. This commendation goes on. This program's success would not have been possible without the contribution of Watch Coordinator Kuhea ISU, CFE Program Coordinator Patty Edwards, CFEU Data Manager Cheryl Tachikawa, and of course Maui Field Supervisor Brooks Tamai, and Maui Branch Chief Clarence Matt Yamamoto. The rebounds of this fishery has demonstrated that despite an increase population and great enthusiasm around time-honored fishing traditions, our growing communities can come together to enjoy these waters sustainably. Now, this was something that just started now, and here they are attributing a great success of the recovery of the fisheries, and the dang thing hadn't been in place, up and running, to even claim that they were up and running. So this is, again, one more step toward showing that we've lost control within DLNR, within DOCARE, within boating. I've showed you the manager there, the administrator, McGillivray, had the concerns, and there are many concerns being raised about his ability to fly or authorization that was granted by ILA and the, I guess, personnel office to DAGS to grant this gentleman the right to fly first class. I think that he should have been prior to employment if he's not up to the job and can't sit for 30 minutes to fly to Maui but can only sit and fly to Maui on the first class at double the cost. I think that would have been sufficient to consider him not suitable for employment in that capacity. So, again, I want to share with you another matter. This comes from Kauai. Dear Mr. Cox, thank you, and I just received this on the 19th of March this year. Thank you for being, dear Mr. Cox, thank you for being a champion and for the little guy, quote. We're not little guys, but we loosely use that, but we will bite just as hard as the big guy if we get the opportunity. Little guy, guys, and strong advocate for what is right in government, please, please, can you help in finding out what is possibly illegal, unethical wrongdoings within the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Division of Conservation and Resource Enforcement on the island of Kauai? Just to let you know, it has been going on for several years. William Ila, Randy Awo, Jason Redula, and Kirk Smythe are well aware of these issues and did nothing. Retaliation against personnel who questioned was common practice by administrators. Kauai branch manager illegally obtained, and these are allegations in this letter now. We haven't put our nose to the stone to go and ask for questions, but I'm laying it out with you so you can see how these things unfold. Obtain a Kauai leasehold cabin without going through the public process. Don't know if that's factual. I'm just reading you, and I decided we'll start depending on what it is. Some of this I'm able to confirm. This is why we're reading. On Kauai, one of the managers were involved in two accidents with a state vehicle. First accident was on, the person was on sick leave before the accident and after the accident rescinded the sick leave status. Second traffic accident hit a vehicle from behind, state-owned vehicle, causing major damages and injuries to other parties. Left the scene of accident. Investigation conducted the day after. Why the cover-up? Illegal transfer of state inventory. Missing items include transferred into private ownership a 22-foot Boston Whaler patrol boat, no public process, auction bids, etc. Boat went to a relative of a supervisor. Missing boat replacement engines. Confiscated boat with lots of money to repair or replace items. not in use. Don't know where it is now. Missing state inventory trucks, also confiscated Ford van. Where is it? No accountability for administrative manager. Unknown if on vacation or sick leave after the fact information. Favoritism to certain officers travel or special seminars or training. Officers travel 8 to 10 times a year within the state and out of state with no special or extra duties or responsibilities or return training of others. Please do an unannounced inspection of Kauai Base Yard, Dokia Base Yard, firsthand of inventory, abuse, neglect, waste. Please check on reported costs. If you will conduct an investigation inquiry, a lot of more will be exposed. The confidence or lack of Kauai DLNR Dokia is within your hands. That's a burden that I have, I guess. But thank you for your assistance in the above matters. In fear of retaliation, no names will be submitted. Now, in a normal world, in a healthy world, where there was each body within government acted accordingly, but when we have within city government Chuck Tato sitting there guarding the gate for crime and corruption on behalf of state employees and only doing those that they want to impede or impound or impact negatively, like the Rod Tams, but there are other people out there. When they don't want to get you, you're safe. But if they want to get you, you're just up the creek with no paddle. And the same thing with the state. We need to see prosecutions in some of these actions. And this is, I initially, when I had this problem and spoke with Les Condo, regarding the Sodexo and the state officers working two jobs, I felt that it would be okay to talk to him. But after thinking, I've not had anybody so arrogant and so cocky that have spoken to me in my adult life in the last 10 years in the fashion that he did. And so to say that, well, I'm not going to conduct an investigation because you're an outsider and you don't have anything or any information, paraphrasing him, and the information you gave, I'm just not going to go out there and fight your battles. So I think it's time for Condo, and these are after the facts. If initially the conversation was cordial and what have you, and after digesting and seeing just what has happened and knowing the repeated offenses that, and these allegations now, newer ones, the ones on Maui, the $1 million or the $365,000 a year for a piece of land that goes unused by the state. Boating community being increased, charged substantially for storage of boats and what have you by parties that they know were improperly or illegally or had questions. You don't go and tell someone you're evicted if you don't believe as an agency nothing is wrong. You don't do that. So we have some serious problems in the DLNR. And those of you that insist on thinking that, you know, it's hard to take issue with a guy standing there hugging Bambi with tears in his eyes. You wouldn't dare ask the questions, who are you? What's this nonsense? Because that image is indelibly etched in your mind of this game warden. But let me tell you, within the community of conservation workers, there can be shenanigans that you wouldn't believe. You see? And these kinds of things, and why is this important? I don't know if anybody else would bother or task themselves with asking these questions. But it is just as important as tramping down to the state senate or the state legislator's office and ask to have a bill introduced to protect a certain species of animal or to get the federal government to list a species to be protected or what have you. It is just as important because you can have a truckload of laws and regulations passed. But then on the other hand, you can have nothing if you have people that don't show up to work, that are unethical, that are basically stealing or misappropriating, or just people that are not experienced. Yeah, someone's trying to call. If you're calling, and I won't answer anything on off air right now. So 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call. But we're going to take a break here for a minute, and we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show, and 524-1080 when we get back if you have any comments. Okay, hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Someone reminded me, it's Easter, and it is Easter, and I hope that everybody enjoyed, and those of you that are going to church and have fun today and enjoy the family. I always laugh at come Easter time how my mother used to take, and this goes on in the community. everybody has a new dress, new shoes, and shiny heads from the Crisco oil or the baby oil, the Johnson baby oil, and the hair with that Jerry curl look, and you'd be shining as a new nickel, man. I mean, just absolutely the most beautiful kids on the planet. So happy Easter to all of you out there, and that's I'm also having Dr. Keone Dudley coming in at the next hour, and he's going to be talking with me about the Ho'opili and some of the concerns that he have, and you know, of course, the he's opposing the development at Ho'opili, and the housing, and he has concerns with traffic woes and addition of traffic woes. But you know, unfortunately, I hate to be the guy to spoil the party. I think that Hawaii, especially Honolulu, the island of Oahu, I think you can kiss it goodbye. The government is so corrupt, and everybody has their hands out, and everybody got their hands in someone's back pocket. And you learn that it's a global economy. And so that being said, that means that everything is on the shelf for sale here in Hawaii to the highest bidder, or to the person that can get your governor or your mayor to sign on and fight and campaign for development. So look to the south and you'll see what we used to have, and look to the north and you'll see what's coming. That's what I would suggest. Now, you know, we told you about the Judy Kay, and that's a boat that sank there in the harbor and polluting and what have you. It's right there at Pier 17 in that area. Would you believe, after all of that now, the concerns with contaminants and fuel leaks and all of that, can you believe that the boat is still sitting there? Now, I don't expect anybody to be as fast to do things at neckbreak speed, but something's wrong. First, they didn't know who owned it. They didn't know how it got there. They didn't know this. They didn't know that. And now it's just still sitting there bleeding and leaking out its contaminants and just lying there in the harbor. Why? What is the government's motivation? What motivates the government? What is there? I don't know, but to drive by there each and every day and see this boat capsized, flipped over, and you just see the cabin, and eventually, I guess maybe they're waiting until it breaks up. But you know, as it breaks up, you got all those anti-fouling agents that's on the hull, and the paint on the hull, and you got the fiberglass, and you got various other materials there. Why would they leave it there? You know? Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol. I was talking to you the other day, but I think that needs to be said again. You bring up all this stuff, too. And, I mean, it's just classic. Okay, but I told you folks about the Waipalu restroom by the bus. Mm-hmm. Transfer center there, and for one, they had that bathroom closed for 3 months. They had a sign on it due to where they were going to redo it. Tell me, did it take 3 months to close the bathroom just to remodel it inside? I can't see. So it means that people have no place to go. So you know, they go in the bushes if they are desperate. Meantime, they have two security guards guarding this closed bathroom. Now they still have two security guards. We pay, as taxpayers pay. So, these security guards, they have a good job. They just sit there all day.
Do you suspect that a couple of royal, you know what, go there and use the bathroom? That's why they need two security guards. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Well, they have opened them, finally.
I know.
But they still do security guards there. But here's the deal. I was there last Saturday, and I decided I'd just go in and see how it looked. It looked like they did a good remodeling job, and it doesn't smell of urine and doo-doo as bad as it used to be. But then I noticed a fellow coming out and said, he was swearing, he said, there's no toilet paper. Yeah, that's a simple idea, right? Put toilet paper there. Then I go to the security guards. Can we have the toilet paper? Well, that's a separate contractor. You have to talk to them. And they don't take care of the bathrooms on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you guys just have a couple of rolls? You have your little guard place there, room. Why can't you just keep a couple of rolls of toilet paper there just in case for people? Well, that's a contract. And then he pulls down to the bus supervisor, and they're sitting in his car, is there in his car on his computer. I knock on the window, and he kind of gives me a strange look, and then he goes out, can I help you? And I said, well, you know what? There's no toilet paper for the bathroom, you know. This is kind of a little hard on people. And he says, well, you know, this is a separate contractor. That does this, and you know he doesn't do it on the weekends. So what can I how are we gonna figure this out? And he says, well, you have to call the contractor. Well, where's the contractor's number? Well, I don't carry that. You have to call the bus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it just goes on. You know, it's like you said. And I said, why do you need two security guards guarding a bathroom? All they do is. They're doing nothing.
Maybe you need to refocus your questions to the people that make the decision, like Fombry and the mayor, because they're asking a guy that's sitting there waiting for the bus. He's just probably waiting for the bus to see if the guy get there on time and to harass him or exchange buses. But I think you're. Your efforts are misplaced or misspent. Your energies are misspent on that.
Well,
and
that
you ask a security guard. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know...
I did ask the supervisor, and that's exactly what he said. He said, it's the mayor. He can't came out, kind of rolled his eyes and said, I know. These are just the working folks. And, they know what's going on. But, of course, they're... just wanting to keep their damn job, so they
I think you just need to know who to query on the guy that that smiles at you. And for example, I saw in the paper the mayor was going to ask that the prosecutor to dismiss the cases of the people sitting in traffic. I like this guy's style. Wherever there's something that he cares. He's right on the money, Johnny on the spot. But the reality is what we should have had is a long lecture from him to say, our dissertation is, how did this go wrong?
Yeah.
How and who's going to be fired and who's going to be punished for this, right?
Yes, right. No
and,
one.
And how are we going to fix this to prevent this from ever happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I as mayor, I'm mind you. It's a state project, okay? I know that, and some of you are going to say I'm misspeaking. But if the policemen out there and they see people driving on the left and cars moving at 1 mile per day, then something someone amongst all of them should say, let me call the office and let them know that there's a massive amount of traffic out here. I've heard no accidents. Is there an accident up ahead that we need to see EMS dispatch them that you follow? Is there somebody being held hostage? Is there a guy being jumped? But then just start writing tickets out, So this is each and every day we get a chance to see firsthand how dysfunctional government is. So don't go down to the Waikiki and try to use the restroom there.
But
if you do, take the yellow pages with you.
Well, there's a thing here in Waipawa, I noticed that, too. The whales, they got some of those pillars up there. They're going gangbuster at that, you know. Mm-hmm. But the traffic is so bad on Farrington Highway. Pretty much most nights, they have one lane going, which one way and the other, and it's, you know, and the noise. I mean, it's like, you know, we got to get that rail no matter what we're going to do, you know.
I guess we're deserving of anything we lay down and take. I was going to say earlier, this changing the subject, but, you know, I hear a lot of discussion nationally, internationally, about people in this, and this is all that I would have to say about it, is this thing about the same-sex laws, or the in the various states, Indiana knows where they're claiming they want to be able to refuse service to everyone, that they just, they want to, right?
Right.
So, I don't want them, they're claiming, what if a gay couple come in and want me to bake a cake, and I have a right to say no? Okay. What if Bob, I went in and to have a cake, an anniversary cake made for Bob and Bob, and this person looks at me and says, no, I'm not going to bake that cake because, what, because the names of Bob and Bob and they're a gay couple? Well, no, what if my friends are Bob or Robert and his wife's name is Bobby? You see how absurd this whole thing is. And the reason I'm saying that is that this is about the rights as citizens of this country.
Human beings.
Yeah, and to be, nobody gives a rat's butt about the rights of anybody anymore. They claim, well, it's a violation of their rights. I mean, don't get into business. If you have a right to, just tell the person, I'm sorry, I don't have the time, we're booked, or whatever. Just a nice white lie, right?
Uh-huh.
To be kind and courteous, but we think, hey. But then, you know, this is the same people back there in Indiana that today is celebrating a day where the rabbit lays eggs and then takes the eggs and hides them. But then he takes them, but they're chocolate. And, you know, so let's be a little soft on them, go easy on them, because they don't, you know, there's something's wrong here, right?
Yeah, that's sad. And I thought we had this figured out about 50 years ago, but it's not, you know. I mean, I thought we thought the color of your skin and all that kind of stuff, and sexual orientation, or whatever.
Yeah.
You're still a human being, I thought, but
yeah.
Maybe not.
The human being, the poo, what we've come from for a while here now, years and years, seem to be contaminated. Something happened. Kind of bacteria or something got in our minds. Right?
You know what? I think people are still pissed off that we let the slaves free,
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that, And they've been trying to get their slaves back ever since, you know?
Well, the reality is I listen and everybody think that it was the blacks that were enslaved. Well, okay, enough of that already, because, look, let's get past that. We're trying to struggle and come out of the hole. But the problem is that no one can project this ugly behavior, bad government, and all of that on themselves, on their own lives, the middle class, right? You see what's happening? It's being degraded.
Well, the thing is, I think the darn mayor had to take the damn bus. Had to stand in a sardine can,
mm-hmm,
for 2.5 hours after a long day of work, and then they had to take a pee.
Imagine the mayor could have, when he talked about business and increasing business, increasing ridership on the buses would have increased business and would have taken a lot of people off the highways. But what did he do? The money, they claimed they didn't use the bus money. but they didn't use the bus money for what it was intentionally set aside for. You follow?
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to just say from here on out is that we, the people, deserve the government that we vote for and that we salute and that we bake chili for and stew for. As long as that, then, you know, I think getting into the minds of people now, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, it looked like every issue that comes along, we got to hash it out. Every issue, instead of having
Oh my God! Every time we go to that, what is the best handyman? And we go there, and I mean, you have old ladies in their 80s, and they're in tears, talking about having to wait till 9 o'clock at night to get a pickup from the hospital that they'd been staying at all day because the folks up there, they say, well, you know, we're working on getting some new vans, but we don't have them, and, you know, those old ones, we just don't have a budget to, you know, it seems like the same tape they play, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, I hope that works out for you guys out there, because, I don't know what to tell you. I think when the mayor comes in and to tell you how great he did this and that, I think people should tell him, well, we need you to address this problem immediately and just hang on to his ankles and be the pit bull. But, you know.
Well, that guy, he's slick cook. Slick.
So he's going to run for governor?
Whatever.
Or, huh?
Yeah.
Or a senator, or a congressman, or a cover. But anyway, when the last time you've been down to the Evergreen, brother?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a city county card. Oh, credit card.
Now, don't incriminate yourself now, okay? honestly, David... Let me ask you this. Have you heard and witnessed anything like this where we go backwards rather than forward? We got a man who takes a... Everybody knows now today that there's ethic rules and ethics classes that you have to take as a condition, right? And we got, quote, professionals saying, well, there's nothing illegal about that. To hell with the illegality. How about just morally right and morally wrong? And like some say... Dr. Martin Luther King said, we live in a society where it's not wrong until you get caught.
Yeah. Well, it is also, it's showing that, you know, I mean, this fellow doesn't give a darn about that. I mean, he's not even thinking about, you know, what if I, if you did get caught, it doesn't look very good. But he's just, yeah, heck with it. Yeah, listen, I'm the king. I can do what I want, you know?
Yeah, and but the nerve of some people to say it's okay and he came clean.
No.
Really? No. He did?
No.
All I want to know is, did he wash his hands after he left the Evergreen? I don't care about it. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know. I don't want to know anything else about this. He's wrong. My concern is that, you know,
we put our trust in these people.
$1,200 for a surfboard? Anyway. But
have a good day. And I don't know. I don't know what keeps you going. I've been really depressed. I last year I was every darn hearing you can imagine, and I just saw it all. And when I was at the Department of Land Natural Resources, and I saw Mr. Eiley, what's his name? And he announces.
Meaning light or oil or whatever.
He announces that, we're going to do an executive. We're having a hearing. And they said, we're trying out. We're going to have an executive session. I said, excuse me, Mr. Wait a minute. How did you, this is a public hearing. How did you be in a secret executive session? You know? right when we're having the hearing? And well, why you couldn't even do this? This is supposed to be all public, transparent, all over the city.
Well,
and he says, well, that's our procedures, you know.
Well, in answer to your question, you asked, how do I keep up? You know, some of us take our hands and put up over our heart and say, we look at the flag and we love it. And
yeah,
the troops go abroad.
Me too.
What drives me is that this is America. And we, each one of us, has an obligation to, one, it's the planet, it's the earth, to do whatever we can to make things better. Right, and not to be just raping and pilfering, right? So it's easy to keep going.
Yeah,
because I would be nuts if I didn't do something or say something. It's you can't just stand by and see one after the other.
We know what it was like back in the 60s and how we did have some success back then. You know, things were, you know, we had our civil rights legislation.
Ask the Freedom Riders when they went to the South to protect them, ask the abolitionists. How on earth can you keep going to protect these
people? You know what? My hero of heroes is Representative John Lewis. I mean, that guy. I mean, he could be just sitting back and retired, but you know, remember he almost got killed.
Well, see, that's he's a man saying, I'm trying to relieve the stress on me and other people, but he was directly impacted. But what about the people that are not being beaten, the people that got on the buses and trains and planes and went to the South and could have gone to Daytona Beach and stayed in the sun and drank lemonade, right?
Yeah, right?
So when you ask, how can I, it's in all of us. It's just that we don't get the occasion or find it relevant to rise to the occasion. But we all have it in us that want to fight and do what's right. That's just answering you in that. If you believe in America, then you would never have a problem with
war. Especially right now, because we're in a kind of a fight of our life right now to bring the democratic process back again. If we don't, it's just going to be downward.
Let me ask you this, and we're going to move on to get to the invite Dr. Keone Dudley and here. But let me ask you, what is it that bring all of this? When does people really get involved? When should they raise their voices? When should they take an action?
Yeah, right. When things are not right, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you're never going to fix it. It's never going to, nature is never stable.
No.
Right? So you understand.
Keone's even another one. I mean, he's amazing. He has all the facts out there. And that's what gets to me is when he's at these hearings and he's giving all the facts, folks just don't, they just forget either. You know, this is pure fact that he dealt with it.
Well, we're going to make a transition here, Dr. Dudley. But don't fret, man. If you ain't willing, willing to fight for it or take a licking upside the head for it, it's all cocker, and you just run around talking smack.
It's
that simple. I would say for those that think we are weird and strange, then just keep on driving by, and you know, maybe one day reality will hit. But always remember, there are people, for me, that went out of their way when they could have done like the average guy and ignored me and everything else and my calls and my people's calls and the poor man's prayer and went on down to Yale and Harvard and lived and just live in a world that who gives a rat's butt about other people. But they do. So it's easy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to emphasize it. To wake up in the morning to do what I do, it comes as easy as brushing my teeth.
It's
that simple. Because once you know what we got to lose, you won't have a reason to ask, why do you work so hard to keep it?
That's it, you know. We can't do that.
All right.
Let me listen to your next hour.
All right, my friend. Okay, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back. And, guys, thank you for listening in. Nothing but just a lot of fun today.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here again this second hour with Dr. Keone Dudley.
Aloha.
Aloha, Dr. Dudley.
And my wife, Doris Dudley.
And Mrs. Dudley, how are you today? All righty. And so we're going to be talking about ho'opili and whatever else. And then Doris is saying that she has a festival coming up, and we'll definitely give her some time to chat about that. It's going to be fun. We like to advertise festivals. As always, food and fun and good purpose. So anyway, so Dr. Dudley, you've been really working, as the caller just said, that you really working on this, and so tell us about ho'opili and tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been here on the show before, but if you would, introduce yourself again.
Okay. I'm a retired teacher, mm-hmm. 45 years in the classroom, and then 10 years in retirement. Once I retired, I had been really, my background, mm-hmm. first of all, is I taught ancient Hawaiian religion on the college level. I did my doctoral work in ancient Hawaiian philosophy. I wrote a book on Hawaiian sovereignty, a call for Hawaiian sovereignty. I'm pretty deep into Hawaiian mm-hmm. things. I also have a really deep, deep love for the islands, Aloha Aina. And mm-hmm. So all of this motivated me through the years to be, just really aware of the fact that we are paving over the islands and that we're destroying them. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you look forward to a future Hawaiian nation, you want to take care of what we've got for future generations, and So I think my first real interest came when West Capolet was really being considered. Mm-hmm. And it was too late. I got in too late to really have any effect. But then I looked over to the other side of Capolet, between Capolet and the city, and realized, you know, that farmland is next. And mm-hmm. And that was the Ho'opili project. So I've been on that. You know, I became an intervener at the Land Use Commission in 2008. And we worked on that. In 2009, I made a motion that actually shut the project down for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. They came back, and that time they were able to push things through. And now it's before the city council. And if we cannot stop the project before May the 6th, we've lost it. And mm-hmm. The fortunate thing is that God is on our side with the Zipmo bill. You know, as bad as that thing was, it really was a wake-up call for everybody, I think. And if anything is going to really help us, that is.
Because now, you made the connection, but did the riders out there, the commuters, did they make the connection?
Between
what is there to suggest that they have made the connection that this is how bad it can be?
I don't think that people have really made the connection because they aren't aware of what's going to hit them. You know, I mean, the truth of the matter is, all of this has been kept under the rug from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, how much does anybody know about Ho'opili? They see beautiful ads on TV. We're going to have a live, work, and play together kind of situation. And everybody's going to be happy, and isn't it beautiful, you know? Well, and by the way, you're going to be going to work for 3.5-4 hours and coming home for 3.5-4 hours. And, you know, it's time that we woke up to this. So finally, we've got a little bit of money now from a donation. We'd be happy to take more donations. And we're starting different kinds of campaigns. And we have a wonderful website. It's called www.ho'opilitraffic.com. And I'd like to mention that about 15 more times before the end of the program. And if people can go to that website and find out all about what's happening, but they also can sign our petition. They can find a way to write the city council. They mm-hmm. can, and that's the important thing right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can volunteer for actions.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, there was this mantra of no net loss of ag land mm-hmm. at one point. That seemed to have lost cadence or there's no rhythm to it now. We don't hear it being said anymore. How did Ho'opili get approved if there was that in place, no loss of farmland? How were they exempted, or did it apply to this area?
You know, everything is based on the fact that 20 years ago, a decision was made by the city to turn that area into urban area. And so the state went along with that. There are about 8-10 rules about what you can do when you let farmland go. Mm-hmm. And all of the other rules were against it, except for the one that says you have to pay attention to what the city plans for the project, what the county plans for the project. And every one of the people on the Land Use Commission used that as their excuse. Mm-hmm. And now the city council is using as their excuse, the general plan says that's where our development's going to be, and we have to follow the general plan. You know, the truth of the matter is they have become too friendly with the developer.
They being?
The city council.
Okay.
And, you know, we just, they will use any excuse. They just have been trying to push this thing quietly through so that they don't have to take any heat. And it's time that that they're exposed, and it's time that, you know, people stand up and begin to, honest to God, write to them. I mean, you know, if people are sitting in traffic, and it's, you know what it's like, Carol, because you live in that area.
No, I don't.
You don't?
You know, no, I do. I'm just being facetious.
Okay. You know, so, you know, every day coming in, and what, about once a week being caught in traffic that backs up the Makakilo? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. It's a day after day after day, how miserable it is now. Do you have any idea how many more homes we're going to have besides Ho'opili?
Yeah. Well, do you, you know, do they think about fuel costs and fuel use and consumption of fuel? We're supposed to be going south on the use of fuel. So
yeah.
Cars sitting in traffic idling,
yeah.
Like just that one incident they say for the zipper rail, was $1 million in gas just left, you know, in fuel costs just sitting idling.
Yes. And that will be our everyday experience.
What happened if the train, I don't know how it's going to function, but what if they have a major malfunction on the train? Does that mean now that those people that would normally drive to the parking, wherever the parking is, that hadn't been fleshed out clearly. And that means that so they will be, if it's stalled, they will be in traffic, adding more traffic.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, Carol. It's a really phenomenal situation. Let's talk about the rail for a minute. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The rail can only carry 7,800 people an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody thinks that the rail is going to be just jam packed because it's there. But realize what has to happen. Now I live in Upper Macaquito. I have to walk two blocks up the hill. To the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
I catch the bus stop. It takes me about a half hour. Go on down to where the train station is going to be at UH West Oahu.
Right.
I catch the train and come into town. I have to get off of the train and get on another bus. And then I finally get to work. Maybe if I don't have to go to two buses. Okay. And then in the afternoon, I'm going to turn around and walk to the bus stop. I'm going to get on the bus and go to the train station. I'm going to take the train back. I'm going to wait for my bus to come. Then I'm going to take my bus home. You know, wouldn't it be better for me just to get my car?
Mm-hmm.
And they expect that everybody's going to do that because there are only 1,900 park and ride stalls in the whole western side. Now, they've got another 1,900 there at Leeward Community College, but as far as the west side is concerned, it's only 1,900 stalls. Everybody else, 28,000 people supposed to ride the bus. That's a joke, you know?
So the... Do you have the new mall that's being erected?
Yeah.
Or constructed. And then you have the rail. For the people, who are they going to be soliciting for business for the mall? People from Kaneohe and all of those places? And all over the island to come to Bardolo, whatever. What's the name of
DiBartolo.
DiBartolo's, yeah. Whatever they're going to call,
yeah,
that mall.
Kamakani Ali.
I'm scratching my head going, gee, we got three major projects in this general area all at once. What's the rationale? How did we get that? Was it planned long, long time ago, or did it just happen?
Oh, everything happens by happenstance out in our area. What happens is when developers are ready to develop, they develop. And developers own the island. The mm-hmm. developers in unions own the island. They own the government. And, you know, we just have to sit back and watch what's going on.
But yeah. These are three major activities, developments that are occurring that most likely with lots of uncertainties. And so that means that there might be something bad to show us raise its head in this whole speaking of traffic. I believe that we really hadn't evaluated this whole process, these three things. And then you got the university,
yeah,
that's increasing.
Yes.
Okay. And then, you know, I'm just puzzled as to have they really looked at the full impact of these activities together?
You know, and are you talking about as far as traffic is concerned?
Traffic concerned.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is that you have two people who work in every house,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the prognosis is, according to the city documents, they expect that more than half of those people are going to continue to go into the city. So as the area grows, there will be people who will have jobs in Kapolei, and Kapolei will eventually turn into a second city.
Mm-hmm.
That probably won't happen for 40, 50 years. But as it slowly develops, people will move in, one will stay in the area, one will continue to go to the city. So we're going to have, you know, if right now we've got 95,000 houses in the area, we're going to add another 70,000 with Ho'opili. That's pretty amazing, okay? Because if you go back to the traffic situation the other day, We have 95,000 houses right now. We're going to have 165,000 houses feeding the same merge. You know, what is that going to do? I mean, when I say to you, Carol, the truth of the matter is the traffic the other day is exactly what we're going to have, that's exactly what works out. I mean, if you use the numbers, you know, and figure it all out, we had three lanes that were open serving 95,000 people. We're going to have five lanes in one direction and six lanes in another serving 165,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
When you just put the numbers in there, 165 into 5 and 6, it comes out as the same as 95 into into 3. So we're going to have the same lockup, exactly. People aren't aware of it. I want to go back to our website, www.hopevatraffic.com, because you need people need to go to the city council, and they need to write to the city council. They need to tell them what their experience was in this traffic tie-up and tell them, stop, don't vote for this. Don't vote for the whole PD approval.
Now, Bill 3 was hell or until the next zoning and planning. What was the purpose of that? Can you give us some insight? Because Ikaika Anderson, councilman, put it. I don't know if he didn't defer it.
Deferred. Yeah.
So if he deferred it, what was the benefit, and what triggered that?
I don't know. To tell you the honest God truth, I don't know. But I do think that the traffic tie up on Wednesday and Thursday had something to do with it. I think that he realized that, we better back off here and really study the situation a little bit more.
Is this just an act of futility, exercise of futility? Because we see what happens in the city council. They all express grave concern for this or that, and then you turn around, they vote for it. It's like, we're not going to give you the medicine today. We'll give it to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is it just a delay of what's inevitable?
But, you know, when I just said, I don't know, that's because of that exactly is the point that was in the back of my mind. Is that what they're doing? Is it them saying, we're not going to rush this now. We're going to give you another month.
Mm-hmm.
In actuality, it only extends the final vote for 2 weeks.
Right.
Because the city council votes, they have the city council meeting the week before that, zoning and planning, and they have the next city council meeting the week after. And so it's only 2 weeks later.
And what is the vote on Ho'opili as it relates to the council? Who voted yes, who voted no, and who voted, well, I really vote yes, but I'm in reservations and...
You silly man, you think somebody voted no? Do you think anybody voted with reservations? That's what I'm saying, that they are too close to the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Too close to the developer. Nobody is willing to stand up and really, take a stand. The person that really we've got the most hope with is Ron Manor. Ron Manor really took the developer to task about and took the city to task about the affordable housing, and he's going to push that issue. And he got the developer to agree that they will build houses not to 140% of median income, but to 120%.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. However, as soon as he got the developer to say that, he then asked the city about the mayor's new laws that are going to come down and whether those laws would affect this retroactively.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was no. So then they asked, okay, so when are they going to have the new laws ready? Oh, by middle of summer. But, we're going to go ahead and vote on this now. And then the retroactive law that says that you've got to have 120 rather than 140% of median income, that won't be in effect. That won't affect this project.
Mm-hmm. This is the Carol Cox Show you're listening to, and my guest is Dr. Keone Dudley. You can follow Dr. Dudley at Ho'opili, Ho'opili, traffic, traffic.com. Ho'opilitraffic.com. And we're talking about Ho'opili and all of the other good things or concerns that he has. With that whole Peely, this debate about affordable homes and all of that, why is that just an insult? Because the market is going to bear dictate, and there's no one to police to say, okay, you said that this house is going to be this dollar amount, because it's free enterprise, right? Demand, and who got the money wins. Is there anything in place to say, well, you must have X number of houses at this price, period?
Yes.
There is?
Yes.
What's there to make sure that they adhere to that, or can they come back and say, well, can we buy land in, or can we donate $6 million to the city? And then in turn, and they do this quite often.
Yes.
And then we will take the $6 million, give you the city, and we basically are exempting ourselves from the condition that we were required, as we agreed to get permission to build here.
Yes. And that's what developers do. The truth of the matter is that there are, this would be a condition. This would be part of the CD1 approval. Mm-hmm. This would be part of the memorandum of understanding. Mm-hmm. It would be required that they build 30% affordable. Mm-hmm. Now, so 30% of them would be 120% of median income or less.
Mm-hmm.
That's still $400,000 house.
and you know, here's the thorny side of this. Even though, let's say they tell them, no, you must adhere to this agreement, the conditions of this agreement, it still requires someone within city government or the mayor's office to initiate an action if they fail to adhere to it.
That's right.
And so you're left to your own devices and at the mercy of an administration or legislators that already support the project.
That's right.
How do you avoid that, or what's in place to, or what's the
thought? Well, they have to come back at a certain time. I think it's every 2,500 houses that they build. They've mm-hmm. got to come back and get certain kinds of, go through certain kinds of hoops again.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so every time they build another 2,500 houses or 3,000 houses, they've got to come back. So they're going to be coming back maybe five times, four more times mm-hmm. after this, mm-hmm. and over 20 years.
Go ahead.
But then, you know, things have changed as the years go on, and as they can argue, oh well, we really did this and did that, and we don't have to do this because of that. And, oh yeah, that's fine.
It's interesting that we would have Ron Manor's name in the mix here, because he was just on TV speaking about Coalina.
Yes.
And if you know the situation with Coalina, there were, in order to get it rezoned from ag to resort, there were conditions, and they agreed.
Right.
And then in the process, they're supposed to come back and give a report,
yeah,
an annual report or quarterly report to the city on the progress that they're meeting the conditions of their rezoning.
Yeah.
Many of those things are not in place. They've not moved on them. For example, a fire station, a school that was supposed to be in place, and the beach is returned to the public, to the city.
Mm.
None of that has taken place. And how long have they been there? You know, West Beach Estates, well, development, West Beach, I think, was the original,
yeah,
and then they sold it to Jeff Stone. But again, that's what troubles me. We say, okay, well, here are these agreements, and here are the conditions of Whole Peely. And then just right next door is Coalina that hadn't presented, and the streets must be dedicated back to the city.
Yeah.
What have we done to safeguard that this does not repeat itself in Whole Peely?
I don't think that there's anything that is going to be done. You know, let's go back to traffic and talk about what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
They will put into this memorandum of agreement that every 2,500 houses, they will come back and talk about it again. Well, so they come back after 2,500 houses, and what's the city going to say? Now we got 2,500 houses out there, and the traffic is a lot worse. You know, you can't build anymore. you know, and by that time, they bought off everybody else in government. I don't know. It's a real catastrophe. It really is. I mean, right now the people need to rise up. I mean, this is the time for people to rise up.
This is it's kind of like a two-headed monster you're dealing with when you deal with the city council and the mayor's office, because just by the natural chain of events and the currents, and that is, the city is always in looking to see and entertaining ways of collecting more taxes and more generating more revenue.
Yeah.
How many houses at Cole Pelee?
11,750.
11,000, and the average value of those houses is going to be in
700,000.
Now imagine, we are appealing to the city to not approve that, and the city is saying, "Well, we need more kala." So imagine them. I don't believe that they would even consider not approving Ho'opili, and that's my fear, because they're seeing 11,000 homes and taxes from that. And then not to mention the water and the fees and the sewer. And that's a lot of loot, man. And how big of a role did that play in their real decision-making process?
I don't know. That's a good point. I never think of things that way. I never think about the city actually trying to bring in more money by developing things. From my point of view, the government should be the government of the people, by the people, for the people, you know. And what profit does it give them to get all these so much money? I mean, along with the money comes more problems. Along with the money comes more expenses. Along with the money comes destruction of tourism. You know, just at one point about tourism. Think of what the traffic today is doing to tourism. I mean, you know, if we allow this to happen, to build another 70,000 houses out in that area, what will happen to Ko'olina? Mm-hmm. What will happen? What will happen to Waikiki when people can't get out of the city? Mm-hmm. There was just an article in the paper the other day. Somebody wrote back from Idaho saying, "I'm never coming back because I got stuck in traffic. I can get stuck in traffic in Los Angeles." You know, who wants to come here and just get stuck in traffic? Can't get out to see the island.
Yeah. Well, in a climate where the second word in every politician's mouth is privatization. So the incentive is they get the tax dollars, the benefit from Ho'opili, the 11,000 plus homes.
Yeah.
They get that revenue from taxes, and they get to increase it at their leisure.
Yeah.
So that's one. Secondly, if the machine drives them is the actual privatization entities that want to privatize many of these things. So you're generating revenue for and creating a business for companies.
Yeah.
So imagine I sat back and I watch, and then you see the train. Most of that's going to be privatization.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we will get on the train in the morning and see Ron Manor or Ekaika Anderson or Ann Kobayashi with the engineer's hat on driving it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So unions and 11,000 homes putting into traffic. How many cars average they estimate per house?
Well, there are two cars. There's one car for every human being on the island.
Right.
So, every man, woman, and child has a car.
But I thought there was a survey, and I tried to find it this morning, and I couldn't, how the average home now has one or two cars. And so if it's 11,000 homes, that's 22,000 cars.
22,000 cars, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And they expect, all of the paperwork says 12,000 of those will be on the freeway. 12,000 will be on the freeway. I mean, there's just no question about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be insane enough to approve that, knowing that we got 53,000 other houses already, 58,000 other houses already zoned out there? You know, and we're talking, where I'm talking about these 70,000, because 58 and 12 from Ho'opili is 70,000. What I'm talking about is the people on the houses on the other side of the H1 H2 merge in central. Western, the Waianae Coast and the West Oahu. That's where we're talking about 70,000 new houses. Now those guys have to get through the H1 H2 merge, And what Ho'opili folks are saying at D.R. Horton is they're going to build an extra lane. And that lane is going to go all the way up to the H1-H2 merge and stop. Now, we're trying to get them to go on through the merge. But once they get through the merge, it still goes down to five lanes. So what in effect is happening is they're going to build an extra lane, but we haven't got enough money to build it all the way to the city, nor can you build it all the way to the city. So we're going to be stuck with five lanes once you get to past the H1-H2 merge. And the traffic is going to continue to back up.
Well, if you look at the traffic now
on
H1-H2 merge, now they're also introducing the new development of Coal Ridge.
Yeah.
So in you have this constriction in this area.
Yeah.
And now you're going to introduce, I don't know how many Coal Ridge is proposing.
I think it's 5,000.
5,000 homes.
Yeah.
So 5,000. They're making no lane, wider lanes or more lanes. They're going to take that and introduce that to the existing traffic. And then and the people in Kapolei and Ho'opili development had made it to this intersection yet, or this interchange.
That's right. That's right. And when you get to the interchange, you've got six columns on one side of the road and six columns on the other side of the road. And you've got 70 feet for your freeway to get through there.
Right.
Okay. Now, lanes by requirement must be 12 feet wide. And so five times 12 is 60, and they've got their five lanes now. They would like to narrow the lanes, and the reason they haven't is because it's under code, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would like to narrow the lanes and get a sixth lane through there. If they do, that's
fine, but they'll never get a seventh or eighth or ninth because there's just no room between those columns for more traffic.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
I just want a confirmation. He mentioned that the average price of the...
You got your phone there a little bit, Ed. Turn down. Just a step away from it. You're there, your radio.
Oh. Nuts. No.
No, you were hanging out Evergreen. I know what it is, Ed.
No, I did get home after Evergreen at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like it said, you know, it's $300 to go in a room for a bottle of champagne. So he probably had two bottles of champagne. $200 for sex, that's $800, and $50 for the waiter. So that came to about what his bill was, almost $900, but that's not what I want to talk about. I just want to know, he mentioned, your guest said the average cost at Ho'opili of the home is going to be $700,000. Where can we get proof, or where can we get information on or prospective plans for the houses and what they're going to be selling for?
I wish I could just tell you that off the top of my hat, but I just haven't been following that. So I when I say $700,000, $600,000, $400,000, whatever it is, I don't have those numbers down.
Presenting these numbers because unless you have $700,000 for the average locals who are going to be moving on, that's kind of out of the question.
Well,
and he made one more good point, is that all these tourists from the mainland are going to come out here because of all the traffic, which is a good point because that would take all these rental cars off the road.
Well, you know, as not in defense of him, but what I was speaking to that your comment is that I believe it would be irrelevant in this vein of what we're speaking of, the impact of the number of cars, regardless how much the house costs. We know factually that X number of houses is going to be built, X number of houses have certain number of cars, and it's the introduction of that number of cars to the traffic, not how much they pay for the house. That would be irrelevant. But on the other hand, don't be so secure now, because what I'm observing throughout the islands, Big Island, Maui, Kauai, is that there are people that are coming here to buy houses, and they can afford the $700,000. And that's why we see the displacement. I'm just telling you what I've noticed firsthand.
In the real estate business, you know, these people are coming out here to buy the houses. They're buying the $900 to $1 million houses.
No,
they're not going to come out to live out in Copley.
They come out and live out in Coalina.
Well, Coalina is sort of a resort area. That's a nice place to live. You can live in.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a matter of opinion. But just offering that, what I'm observing, and there are people buying Kona, for example. Not every place in Kona is a resort. But there are many people that have moved there from the mainland in Canada and Australia and other places.
Yeah, I understand this, but the bulk of the people, we need the homes for the growing local population. That's what I'm trying to say. They're having their children, and their children are having children, and most of them want to stay here. And when you start thinking about $700,000 home, you look at the job situation. Pretty tough out here.
When you say
who's working,
you're in real estate.
College in Boston.
When you're in real estate, Ed, for a minute, you mentioned that you're in real estate. Are you actively selling real estate, involved in real estate now, or is the days gone by?
No, I'm actively. I have a license, but primarily.
No, I mean, are you selling new houses? I'm just, because like you ask him, where do you get these numbers from? I'm asking you, how recent have you been to say that I'm in real estate? That's one thing, but are you actively?
Well, I'm probably in commercial real estate. We're dealing in business opportunities and hotels.
Okay.
And if you want to buy a $20 million hotel and cheap hotel like Key, give me a call. I got one of them. It's off Cahuilla Avenue.
Okay.
I haven't dealt with residential real estate for years.
There are many things. And I appreciate what you're saying, and it's worth taking note, but it's just the reality here, and the issue is the number of cars being introduced to the existing traffic and the infrastructure.
I live in the area, and they're talking about taking away all the prime farmland out there in the whole Pelee area. But, they're growing sweet basil and these fancy crops that go to these fancy hotels. They're not growing the basic carrots and stuff that normally for the household, it's so cheap to get from the mainland being shipped in. These are boutique farmers, and I'd rather see houses than a field of basil and some of these condiments that they're growing out there.
So you'd like to see a field of dreams rather than basil?
I want to see people have affordable homes.
Okay.
And you have to use the land here. We've got so much farmland out on North Shore area. Take care of all the needs of this island, or on Maui, or Hawaii. Of course, they took an advantage by taking more of the ferry to bring those crops over.
And I appreciate your comments. You know why? This gives the public an opportunity to see how this is played out. This is the same rationale our leaders and the elected officials voted this in. They can't see the trees for the forest. You see, they're cutting their nose off in spite of the face by saying all of this. The reality is it's the impact and the financial cost that it's going to be experienced from the traffic and the delays. That is the hardship he's speaking to. He's not taking issue with one way or the other with how much they cost, unless I'm wrong.
No, I'm not concerned with the cost of the houses. Okay, the way that came up was we were talking about Ron Manure and affordability, and so I should have said before I said anything about numbers that I don't really know about numbers because I haven't really studied that.
I should have said it is irrelevant anyway. We're talking about impacts on traffic.
Yeah, but I would like to come back to the agriculture thing.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Thank you. And stay out of Evergreen.
Okay. The thing about agriculture is that we years ago I was talking with the farmer out there, a balloon farms, and he told me that when they first started off after pineapple went out, the most difficult thing they encountered was trying to find where to grow the crops, because crops are so finicky that if you grow crops in a certain place, if you go plant them, they just aren't going to thrive. But they do thrive in another place. Now, the kinds of things that make a difference is the elevation, the amount of pH in the soil, but also the most important thing is the sunshine. You know, some things grow in warm areas where there is plenty of sun. And Ho'opili is our only and last area on the flatland where you have an awful lot of sun. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit as you go up above the freeway, but you get up there a bit, and pretty soon you come into cloud cover. And the whole the North Shore has got the same kind of problem. Mm-hmm. If we're looking, you know, Jerry Brown in California, Governor Jerry Brown, just mandated the 25% cut in water. They're about to come out with the regulations now that are going to be the cuts that agriculture is going to have mm-hmm. to take. And we're already finding that in the San Joaquin Valley, the farmers are leaving because the area is dried up. We're going to have a tremendous problem with food as time goes on. And we've got to realize that, you know, this island is going to have to be self-sustaining. And when we talk about self-sustaining, those things that grow in the warm flatland mm-hmm. are the basics. Those are the real big things. Now, I don't care what they're growing out there now, and I take issue with him that they're just growing basil. But I don't care what they're growing. What's important is to preserve that land because we're going to need it in order to survive for the basic foods that only thrive in the lowlands.
Yeah, well, this, for me, ecologically and environmentally, one more slab of cement that channels water back directly to the ditch and to the ocean rather than replenishing the water table. That in itself and percolating back down, replenishing the aquifers.
Yeah.
And that brackish area there, because that's that brackish, that basal lens.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so many of problems there that, but I look to, and I go out there and photograph some of the water birds and some of the birds that come. There's a little area that collects or attract vagrant birds from migratory birds from out of state, not from the state. Pintails and lesser yellow legs and ibis and what have you. And if you think, what are they going to do? Stormwater management.
Yeah.
Where is it all going to go?
Yeah.
Straight to the ocean.
Yeah.
And then that stormwater, not sewage, and you got the sewage. And what plant are they going to be impacting or using?
For the sewage,
mm-hmm.
Honolulu.
Honolulu.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are they going to be focusing on reuse of water? Or they have that Honolulu osmosis, reverse osmosis.
Yes. They will be working
Rinner.
There, and they will have a lot of things in the development that will use that water. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to figure out how they pull it off because realistically, the amount of traffic. I mean, we already have a headache to introduce Ho'opili. And then there's a few other smaller developments occurring.
It's not just a few, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ever Beach, what was that one dumping out there? And those poor people trying to get on the freeway again.
You know, the areas, there's the Mehana that is mm-hmm. Right now across from Kapolei High School. There's Lehano, which is the new retirement home.
Right.
You know, they're going to be another 714. There's Eva by Gentry. He's got another 658 to put up. Eva by Gentry, another section, has 1,067. Eva Villages, 540. Palaili, 350. Ko'olina has another 3,286. I mean, you know, you just keep adding these up. West Oahu has another 1,380 houses in there. DHHL, another 413. All of it comes up to about 17,000, mm-hmm. and then you begin to add in the East Kapolei and Kamakani Ali'i and Kapolei West and on and on, Huakalei. You wind up with 34,805 houses. Then you begin to go to the Waianae Coast and you find another 3,018 houses, and then you go up to Central, and what you find is they've got the 12,000 houses there of Waiapa by Gentry.
Mm-hmm.
You've got another 3,500 houses in Launani Valley and Reo-Kunia and Waikele. Then you've got the 5,000 houses of the Koa Ridge, and what you wind up with is 58,000 houses that are already zoned. that are going to be built. All of these are areas that are by active developers, and they're going to be built.
And, of course, all of those pay taxes, and all of those, that money comes back into the pension funds and all the investments. Yeah. And so that's what's really driving this. And coming from Waianae and those areas, isn't there a plan of overpass, over the mountain?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any real plan for that right now.
But their proposal, about it.
I mean, that would really destroy our island.
Yeah, but not only that, it's going to dump back. See, we're still talking about dumping into one small artery, and that is the H1.
And we really ought to talk about that for a second, you know? There's no room for anything more. We've reached the carrying capacity of the island as far as traffic is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to put another freeway coming through there?
Right.
There's no land. There's just no land. I mean, you come down a mountain and you've got maybe a two-mile base, and but it's already filled. It's filled with freeway. It's filled with the Kamehameha Highway. It's filled with Farrington Highway. It's it's filled with the Leeward Community College, and you know, and the rail, and that's it. I mean, you know, there's just no more room. There's no way you can put anything more there.
Right.
So, you know, at a certain point, we really have to just stop and say, you know, we've reached the carrying capacity of this island. We just can't take any more.
Yeah. I guess we find ourselves praying to the concrete god. But we're going to talk to Doris in a minute. Let me get this one call in real quick. And
good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. You come in a question?
Hi, Carol. Real fast. It was a very interesting discussion you guys are having. But you know what? I think there's only one last answer for the traffic on this island, especially on the west side, is I guess rail is a given, and that's not going to solve things much. If we have some leadership who has a little guts and says, hey, guess what? We're going to have just lanes just for the buses. And if you want to go on your darn private car and spend hours and hours, or you can get town in a half hour from Kapolei. Basically, it'd be like the rail, but you just get on, you know, and it's kind of like there's different things, but you just, but however you're not getting that bus going there, it's only going to be for the buses. We're going to have a massive amount of buses, and people will get in their head, oh shoot, you know, this is cool, I can get work real fast and I don't have to spend a fortune and be caught in traffic. And I think that's all a real answer that's going to have to happen, but of course that's a political real thing.
Okay. All right, Dave. Well, thank you.
If Keone could comment on that. And by the way, I love his, by the way, I listened to your, we're on the website there, and about the traffic, and I love you were at one of those hearings, and I mean, you were just full of facts, and why this could be ignored is beyond me. Anyway, I'll listen.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Real quick, I didn't want to make sure, Doris, you want to go now and tell us, take a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, about your function?
All right, but first of all, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Easter.
Okay.
Good idea.
And now, do you want to know about the festival?
Yes, please.
Every year, we have a festival. It's called the Leeward Music Festival. And this is our fifth year. And it's a wonderful event where we have very talented people of different ages and different arts, like singing, dancing, and playing instruments, that will be performing at the Croc Center at Kapolei.
Okay.
Croc Center is near the University of Hawaii, West Oahu.
And what dates?
It's on April 18th in the evening, 6:45, and the doors will open at 6:30. So be there early. There is a charge, but very nominal. We have someone who will be taking orders for tickets at $7.
Is there a number? Is there a number they can call?
Yes. Right now I don't have her number, but
okay.
She is taking calls, and we have limited tickets.
At the
Croc
Center.
You can call me. No, you can. No, you can call me at 672-8888. 672-8888.
Okay. So
thank
again,
you very much.
This is the Leawood Music Festival at the Croc Center on April 18th, 6:45 a.m. You
PM.
Can call PM. I'm sorry. Gee. Well, and 672-8888. For talk to Doris, and she can give you more instructions and directions and how to get in touch with Will Call. So go out and support it. And what's the organization?
The Kapolei Choral.
The Kapolei Choral. All
yes.
Right. Okay. Well, thank
they
you.
They sing everywhere.
Oh, okay. But back to Dave's question, Dr. Keone, Dudley.
Okay. Dave was asking about buses. And, Panos Prevedoris, who is the professor of engineering at the University of Hawaii, really does believe in buses as the solution. I think that I think that's a good idea. I would like to see more buses too. At the same time, though, I think that we right now, before we begin to look at solutions, we got to look at the problem and realize that this is coming down the road. That they really are, the city council really is going to vote for this. It's going to be on May 6th. We really do have to stop them.
And what do you want them to do? Go to Ho'opili, traffic.com, and they can sign up there or get more information?
Yes, yeah.
And so
if you go there, you can find the addresses, the email addresses for the city council and their phone numbers.
Yeah. And you're advocating, what are you asking them to?
Write to the city council. Just copy all the addresses and write them all at one time.
Don't pass this bill.
Please don't pass Bill 3. Yeah.
Okay.
And tell them a little bit about your traffic experience and tell them stop.
Okay.
Don't do this to us. Don't do this to us.
I have a weird and strange prediction.
Okay.
I believe things are going to be so bad traffic-wise. And we've seen, they've visited and flirted with it openly a bit, creating a toll booth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city government loves money because they just can't control the spending and they had never managed their own monies. And so I believe what's going to happen with such massive as a solution, they're going to look in their mind, feeble minds, as a solution to their problems that they presented, we're going to see a use of toll roads and toll bridges to offset their mistakes so that they can capitalize on it. I honestly believe that. And try an attempt to reduce traffic.
Yeah. And that could very well be. I mean, they've done that in London. They're doing that in other places, you know, slowly. Forcing people to pay money to come into the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a real problem because people move out to our area because they are looking for a cheaper place to live. And so the people out there, that is the working class. That is the people who need to be able to come into the city and need to come in there free.
I think with this traffic thing, they're flirting and playing on dangerous turf because eventually it's going to catch up with them. We're going to have a crisis. I honestly believe that because bill, and things, you're going to be impacting businesses, the very business that you're trying to appease now.
Well, isn't that the truth?
You know,
if you increase the amount of time that people are going to be sitting in traffic, every business is going to go out of they're not going to be able to survive, you know? Okay, we got another caller.
Caller, real quick. We're coming down to the last minute. Your comment or question?
Yeah, Carol, another thing is we have a big tsunami like all Japan had at homes and everybody. They can't get out of that area anyway. And then another thing, if you email to your council members, follow up with a phone call to the office to make sure they got the email because they got so much emails, they might bypass that email.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
All right.
It's really good.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, just one quick last comment. You know, I was had a lot of business in Washington, D.C. with the Navy in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gridlock in the 1960s during peak traffic hours. The traffic never moved. And
wow.
That's 50 years ago. And we'll survive here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we will. Well, thank you, Ed.
All
All righty.
I just don't think that it's a matter of surviving. I think that, you know, we deserve to have a quality of life. And
that's the key. We'll survive.
You know, we can survive. Yeah, sure. But the thing is, you know, what's going to happen to families? What about the kids who are latchkey kids? The parents are worried about them right now. They won't get home for another hour. You know, every morning they leave them off before dawn at school. I mean, the ramifications of it are just ugly as far mm-hmm. as life is concerned. We don't have to live that way.
So, again, give you a pitch real quick. We got one more minute here.
I just would like to really encourage people, go to www.ho'opili.traffic.com. Get an idea of what the entire story is, and write or call all of the council people. Just send them a message to all of them at one time, and tell them don't pass Bill 3.
All righty. Hey, thank you for joining me. And
I'm
glad I could get you on and talk about this. So we know how it's a challenge. So we will talk to you next week, guys. And sorry, Carl, I've missed you. And hold on. Real quick, caller. You got a comment?
Yes. Hi. I sit back and I listen to everything. And what I hear is, you know, Boston was an unplanned city, too. And if you know anything about big cities, when they're unplanned, all it does is create problems over and over and over again. And maybe if they would have put the rail in a long time ago when they were supposed to, they could have been able to work out some of these long-range problems that would come up in the future. That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, thank you, caller. All righty. Okay, guys, we'll see you next week, and take care. Aloha.
Aloha.
Has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.